everyone. Welcome back to Life's a Beach, a beach volleyball podcast with your host, that's me, Alexia Inman. Last time I talked with you all, the world of sports had sort of just started kicking into high gear since it stopped at the beginning of the pandemic. And now here we are in the beginning, middle, I don't know, what is it, the middle of October now? And some nights I can't even pick what sport to watch. Football, basketball, or baseball, they're all on at the same time now. And you know, I have never been so thankful for a full slate in my life. Obviously, within the world of beach volleyball, it's a little bit different. There's no super organized league like the NBA or something, so we can't just take all the players and say, all right, let's bubble them and start our professional league for the season and knock it out. It's more chaotic, so it's been interesting to see some colleges coming back and bringing teams back. Others, like in my state, UC Berkeley, we've have to hold off because the county still won't approve it. But it has been nice to see the sports come back to console us a little bit when we can't play our sport all the time. And it seems like now, more than ever, is a great time to introduce one of my segments on this podcast called Outside the Sandbox, where I deal a little more specifically with things outside the world of beach volleyball. And what's one of the most relevant sports right now? Well, with the start of September came the restart of the NFL. And folks, for me, all bets were off at that point. Once football started, I haven't had to pick between any other sports. I'm sorry to the bubble games, and I'm sorry to baseball, but I've been sucked in since week one, and it's not changing until we've got a new Super Bowl champion. In the spirit of football season being back, and despite a few COVID hiccups here and there, better than ever, I felt like it was a great time to have a guest on the Outside the Sandbox segment who's involved in the world of football, but from the front office standpoint. So my first guest on the Outside the Sandbox segment is the penultimate girl boss of the NFL, and that's Hannah Gordon. She's going on her 10th season with the 49ers and serving her third as the Chief Administrative Officer and General Counsel. I could spend a whole podcast episode talking about all of the specific things Hannah does with the 49ers organization, but generally she oversees legal, public affairs, and strategic communications, risk management, community relations, fan engagement, 49ers Museum, 49ers Foundation, and, you know, just a couple other things here and there when she has time. So I am so honored and excited to have one of my biggest role models in the sports industry with me today, and that's Hannah Gordon. Hannah, thank you so, so much for taking time out of your super busy schedule to sit down and talk with me a little bit today.
Happy to be here, Alexia. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So I've been lucky enough to hear you speak a couple of times in the past few years, thanks to the amazing network communities at Cal. And every time I hear you speak, I am so dumbfounded by, for kind of a lack of better wording, what a kick-ass and take names woman you are.
Thank you, Alexia. I appreciate that.
I mean, especially in the sports industry, I don't feel like that's something you often come by every day, especially for women. So I just wanted to have you on my podcast to broadcast your voice to my listeners in order to spark some inspiration from your body of work for them.
Thank you. And I love that you have a podcast because I think it's important for people to create their own content and create what they want to see in the world. So I really applaud you for doing that.
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. I feel like you're creating your content, you get your voice out there, and every voice helps make a difference. So thank you for saying that. And it seems like now more than ever, people are desperate for stories, which I feel like I can supply, or I'm attempting to supply to people, that kind of like uplift them. And I feel like the world of sports offers this opportunity more so than any other entity, I think. I think it's just like the world of sports has the ability to bring people of different viewpoints and backgrounds together in a way that nothing else can really match up to.
I totally agree with you.
I don't know how you feel about that. Yeah.
Historically, in the United States, in the world, sports does unify people. It gives people the opportunity, especially if they're playing sports together, even more so than watching it, to develop a bond and a friendship that's unlike any other. I think sports are uniquely powerful, and I'm glad that you're bringing these stories forward.
Totally. So what was it for you about the world of sports that made you want to get into the field of it? Because obviously you've been in it for 10 plus years now.
Yeah, way more than 10 at this point, but I like how young you make me sound. Yeah, the irony is I didn't play sports growing up. So I danced growing up, which is athletic, but is not a sport. Right. It's not a competition, at least the type of dance that I did. It was not competitive dance. And so you would develop bonds with what would be sort of the equivalent of your teammates, your fellow dancers. But it was also very different. And I hadn't actually been exposed to a ton of sports as a spectator as a kid either. And when I got to UCLA, I was actually very homesick. I'm from the Bay Area, and grew up in Oakland, you know, very close to Cal.
Right.
And really started watching a ton of sports because I had not too heavy of a class load my first quarter. And really just fell in love with the competitive nature of it because I'm a very competitive person. and kind of the aspect of using your brain and your body together to achieve something, as well as kind of the chess, like in particular, I fell in love with football because I think it's almost like human chess. Like it's
totally
this incredibly complex game, beautiful game, and it requires so many people to execute anything. And in that way, it's a lot like society, right? Like it's like real life problems require a lot of different people to do their jobs correctly and to have a good plan and all these things. And so I think in so many ways, football and sports in general can be a metaphor for life. So I was really attracted to all of that. And I had already had an interest in, you know, reading, writing, journalism, figuring out how I could use those skills kind of as an adult in a career, and really fell in love with watching Hannah Storm host the halftime show during what was at that time the beginning of the Lakers three-peat in the early 2000s. And she was just so witty, and her kind of repartee with the gentlemen who were all in the halftime show with her, I thought, oh, you can get paid to have funny, smart conversation? Like, that sounds like what I need to be doing.
That's the dream job right there.
Yeah, so I was like, sign me up. So I researched and I looked into, you know, what type of journalism or sports journalism program there was at UCLA. And although there was no academic program for it, they had the Daily Bruin, which was basically there. They said, if you want to do this, like you need to do the work, right? Yeah. Like they expect you to major in something that's like a traditional liberal arts. I was a sociology major.
Right.
But I was working like 20 hours a week for the Daily Bruin, which had a circulation of 50,000 people a day. So it was bigger than a lot of small town newspapers.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a lot of eyes on
it. It was a phenomenal experience, but that's really what brought me into sports.
Right. I mean, that's such an amazing start in sports, the fact that you were given that opportunity. And not only did you have that opportunity, but I would like to add, you were the first woman beater for UCLA football. So that's pretty amazing. So from day one, you were kind of kicking ass as a woman in the sports industry. Nowadays, you've expanded far beyond the world of college journalism, obviously. You've kind of become the ultimate girl boss and one of the highest ranking female officials in the NFL. So that's pretty incredible how you've elevated to that. So I'm just wondering, what inspired you to keep pushing yourself and like wanting to work harder to keep elevating your position in the sports industry?
I think for me, like, I'm just a very driven human being and very competitive, and I always want to be the best at what I do, which I think is true of a lot of athletes. Not that I was necessarily a good athlete or anything, but it is true of so many people in sports. We tend to be attracted to it because we're highly competitive people.
Yeah.
And so I think I always, I mean, even in college, I was very focused on, you know, I want to be the best. And it wasn't so much about what is the title or position I want to achieve. Mm-hmm. It was more like the satisfaction of being the best at what you do. Like I wanted to be the best reporter for, you know, any journalism outlet. Right. Then, you know, when I went to law school, I thought, okay, I think I'm interested in working in the front office in sports. How could I become the best executive in sports?
Right.
And people have said to me, I had a wonderful boss who very much championed me. And I remember him saying when I worked in the league office, you have the potential to become one of the highest ranking women in the NFL. And I remember being both so flattered, but also like, well, I don't want to be one of the highest ranking women in the NFL, because also the ceiling for that felt kind of low.
Right.
Like I kind of felt like, well, I want to be the commissioner or the president of a team. Like, I, you know, I want to be just one of the highest ranking people, not to have a title, but to make a difference and show that I could lead an organization or a team or anything else. Because I think when you have that internal motivation of seeing how you want to do things better or differently or whatever it may be, you are driven by the desire to see that come to fruition, right. To test out your theories and see if they work. Right? You want to win. Like right. That's at the end of the day, that's what's driving you is like, I want to win. I want to be the best, not just for myself, but to build an organization that is the best.
Right. And I love how you're talking about how you say you want to be the best. Doesn't matter the title, man, woman, you work hard. I feel like you understand that like in life, we're given many opportunities we're lucky and blessed with, but a lot of life is how we take opportunities and how we run with them in ourselves. It's the body of work that we put in. And I feel like you understand that and you exemplify that to a T.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. And I mean, continuing kind of with the subject of the male dominance in the sports industry, because it is there, especially in the NFL, it's been nicknamed one of the biggest boys clubs, but there's definitely a gap that needs to be created or can be created for women to be a part of it like you have become. So how do you think that like you, me, or any woman, to be honest, like with a passion for sports, can work to break the stereotype that sports are just like a man's thing and create more of a breeding ground for women to dominate like you have and be confident in their love for things that are considered more masculine?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are a lot of ways in which we as a society are making progress and then other ways in which we seem to not be making progress. And I see that across industries. You know, you see it a lot in tech because we're here in the Bay Area. Mm-hmm. You see it in the financial services sector. So we're certainly not alone in having, you know, a boys club and a male dominated industry. Sure. And I think we have to, you know, see what's working elsewhere and learn from it. And also see what's not working elsewhere and learn from that too. But I didn't want to get pigeonholed as like, oh, she's that person who talks about being a woman.
Right.
Because there's a lot of, you know, negative bias that comes with that. And I didn't have, you know, I had to make it before I could say that. Right. Before I could risk, you know, my career, I needed to actually have a career first, right? Like, and so I think the more power I've gotten and the more comfort I have just as I age and, you know, as you know yourself better and feel more comfortable in your own skin, mm-hmm. I do speak out more now than I did before. And I don't, you know, I don't criticize my younger selves for not doing that. Just like I don't criticize young women now. Like if they're like, oh, you know, I don't see myself as, you know, female in this, I just see myself as me. Like, that's fine. Like, I think that we have to be kind of open and willing to meet everyone where they are in their journey. But I have definitely been more open in talking about the challenges that anyone who's sort of not part of the traditional power structure faces. And certainly in sports, what we see is that, you know, women have been historically on the outside. But particularly, we also have to be aware of the intersectionality because women of color have been even more on the outside of this than white women.
Absolutely.
And that, you know, there has been, you know, divides over, you know, gay men in particular in men's sports have been excluded in a very particular way. And women in women's sports have been stereotyped around sexual orientation also. So right. Having that awareness around race and gender and sexual orientation and other demographics, I think it's important for all of us as leaders. And I think for us to move forward and create a more diverse and inclusive workplace, which is only going to make us more profitable as an industry, we just need to have new voices at the table. We need to recognize that we're not going to succeed in the long run as an industry if everybody at the table looks the same and has the same ideas and is just saying, yeah, sounds good to me. You know, you need challenge. You need diversity of thought in order to have creativity, which is what people need to survive because we live in a highly dynamic world, which is, you know, proven even more true in the last year than ever before. So I think it's going to be really interesting. And I think one of the trends that I'll definitely be paying attention to is, you know, two of the most male dominated aspects of the industry are what's expected to grow the most over the next decade, which would be esports and sports wagering or betting. And so I think it'll be interesting to see what are the influences there. And I would say to any young woman who's, you know, looking to break into sports, I think that they should really explore those areas, because those are going to be significant areas of growth and areas in which women have traditionally really not been, been really even more on the outside than they are in the overall sports industry.
Absolutely. And I think that women overlook that, because for a lot of women, I mean, me specifically too, I've been wanting to be a sports broadcaster since I was young. And I was like, I want to get into the industry, and it's football, baseball, all the big sports. But you overlook the things like the esports, that's exploding right now. And it's going to be in a few years, probably one of the biggest markets. So getting involved and seeing that opportunity before it happens is huge for inclusivity in the environment, I believe. And kind of going off that idea of inclusivity, that's a huge part of your job. And I mean, we're living in a climate, like you said, right now, it's crazy right now. And inclusivity is a topic that's more important than ever. And sports is such a great platform to lead the forefront of the initiative. And I'm just curious what your take is, how you think people can be inspired by the unique opportunity that the pandemic has given us to find work and passion projects, rather than oftentimes people have been discouraged by the lack of opportunity and lack of inclusivity that is so focused on in the media.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, this era of sheltering in place that we are living in is very unique, and there are absolutely challenges. And I do, you know, encourage anyone who's listening, if you are having any sort of, you know, mental health challenge or depression from this, which a lot of people are, to, you know, reach out. And because this is a really tough time for everyone, and we need to, you know, take care, good care of ourselves, and take good care of the people around us, and, you know, check up on your friends. But it is, like you said, also a time of opportunity. So I would say for young people who are, you know, feeling discouraged maybe about the job market, or just, you know, feeling like you're going crazy because maybe you're living in your parents' house again and doing, you know, college over Zoom. Not what you expected. The one thing that is exciting is that people are doing a ton of content creation right now. And people are doing a ton of content consumption right now. So, you know, there's been so much consuming media, whether it's over social platforms or Hulu or Netflix or traditional television, in this time. And so depending again, what your interest is, I think there is an opportunity to use this time productively. And even if it's not for content creation, I know for me at the beginning of this pandemic, I really stopped to think about how can I use this time? Like, this is an unusual time in your life to pause. And because normally we're just going.
No, we never get a time to pause.
And so this is an opportunity to say, okay, the world has halted. How do I want to use this time? 6 months from now, am I just going to be like, wow, I have a really long like Netflix queue of things that I watched? Or do I want to say, hey, I read 50 books, or I started a business, or I wrote a book, or I, you know, I devoted time to my family in a way that I never have, and now I have deepened relationships with them, or I got in the best shape of my life, or I learned to bake cookies, or whatever it is. Like, you need to think about, like, what are the things that you want to be able to say that you did at the end of this? Because it really is, if you take advantage of it, it's a unique opportunity.
It's definitely a once in a lifetime opportunity, and it's an opportunity to create something special. Each person, I feel like, can really make something magic happen out of this time that we have. And speaking of, you mentioned one of the things you mentioned doing during this time is writing a book, and you recently have released a little book of your own, Season of Change. So that's quite exciting. Ever since I first heard the news about the book, or it's more of a prompted journal. What do you like to call it, a book or a prompted journal?
You can call it either one. I call it both. Yeah. Prompted journal, guided journal, book, any of the above.
Yeah. I mean, when I first heard about that, me personally, I'm so into journaling. I love it to use it as a method to kind of know myself more and organize my thoughts. So when I saw you were going to release this, I was like, oh my gosh, I cannot wait to see what she's putting out with this thing. And I, of course, was not at all disappointed. It is incredible. But absolutely, of course. What really struck me about the journal that I loved was how much you preach the idea of respecting your body's total health. And I mean, you just touched on it a minute or two ago, talking about how we should check in on our mental health. You're such an advocate for the idea of respecting your body's total health and expressing how that can transfer over. And it really does transfer over to being the best version of you. And that's something that you seem to touch on a bit in the book. For you, how has being kind of mentally, spiritually, emotionally in tune set you up for success in your life? And why is that something that you're recommending people prioritize in their daily lives?
Yeah, I think it's essential. As a business executive who also has the ability to sort of see how professional athletes are taking care of themselves and their bodies and their total health, I learn a lot from having been around professional sports and the importance of taking care of your body and your total health. You know, I think sometimes we think if we're not professional athletes that somehow that doesn't matter. You know, we live in a culture that encourages workaholism and encourages people to say, oh, you know, I only slept for 4 hours last night, as if that's a badge of honor. Yeah. That's not a badge of honor. No, that is not. You saying that you're not taking care of your body, and someday your body's not going to take care of you. And so I think that for me, I know that I perform at a top level when I have sufficient sleep, when I'm exercising regularly, when I am connected to my friends and family, when I'm getting outside every day, when I am sufficiently hydrated, when I have proper nutrition. Like, all of these things affect my decision making, my ability to run a great meeting, to be a leader who is truly listening to people when they're talking to me and able to give them, you know, good coaching. So, like, you can't be the best at whatever you're doing, no matter how much you think of it as a non-physical job, unless your total health is in tune. And I love that you said your total health, because I think that sometimes we talk separately, and I did a moment ago probably even slip into that of, oh, your mental health versus your physical health versus your spiritual health. But in reality, you're just one organism.
Right.
Like, your brain is a physical organ in your body. And so, like, this idea that somehow we are going to, you know, run ourselves ragged mentally, but it's okay because we're going for a run every day, is like, you need to take an inventory of your total body. In one place in the journal, I do have people do a body scan. And it's such a useful thing to do, really at any time when you start to feel in any way disconnected or bothered, angry, sad, to just stop and notice your body and notice, what are you feeling in your body right now? Like, is your chest tight? Is your, you know, whatever, because we all have places that we store tension or stress. And you find that once you become aware of those things, and you practice at that, you will become more aware on an ongoing basis. This is what a lot of people really enjoy from yoga and other practices, right? Is if you become more aware of your physical health, then you're also much more able to notice earlier on if anything is off. And so when you're better attuned and better calibrated like that, you're not going to get to a point where you're having a complete breakdown of some kind, right? Like, or where, you know, because I've seen so many people who, you know, all of a sudden they're having some terrible health crisis that was preventable. And they're like, gosh, I was so out of touch with my body. And so again, I think there's just so much that we learn from sports and from really paying attention to the fact that, you know, we're just one organism. So you have to think of your, you know, I love Nike, I think, says, like, if you have a body, you're an athlete, right? Yeah. We're all athletes.
Right. And I think it's easy, speaking as an athlete, and I've seen for the past 4 years a multitude of different athletes that they don't, like, I liked what you're saying, like how we were talking about the connected body, the total body. It's not preached that it's a total body. It's there's your mental health and there's your physical health. And a lot of the time, athlete or not, people are just putting their physical health first because like you said, in our society, they preach workaholism, and now it seems more than ever they're preaching the fitness craze. So it's instead of like, maybe you need that 30 minute nap in the day, but you're seeing on social media, everyone's like, get out there, get fit, go for run your 3 miles today, or else you're gonna die early or something. But it's like, at the end of the day, you got to sit down and you listen to your body and you say, okay, body, what do you need from me today?
Right.
And if you need that 15 minute nap, then the run's going to be there tomorrow.
Exactly. Absolutely. That's why the seventh week is all about recovery. Cause I think so many people don't pay attention to like the fact that self-care is not like a luxury. It's actually a necessity.
No, absolutely. And I think people forget that sometimes. And that's another big thing I've been trying to like talk to my friends too, or like my family member. I'm like, what'd you do today? What'd you do for yourself today? Just kind of like sneak it in. Cause I know some like people in my family are a little more stubborn about it. They're very work minded. So I just try to be like, hey, what did you do for yourself today? Cause I feel like when I'm coming from a place, cause I'm a person who does focus on what did I do for myself today, that it just changes you so much as a human being. And once everyone can kind of find that for themselves, there's going to be a lot more peace within each other.
Agreed.
So kind of moving away from all of that topic, I am a huge sports fan myself, so I'd be remiss if I didn't sit here and ask you a couple football questions.
Okay.
Obviously this NFL season is a little different, and especially I'm sure you're seeing it manifested with the 49ers. The last season was one of the best single season turnarounds in NFL history, and you guys were absolutely looking to be Super Bowl favorites again this year. That, of course, is still very much a reality. However, things have changed a little bit in the past few months with the onset of COVID, and now even more so with the season started, there's the turn of what's seeming to be an injury apocalypse in the NFL. How does that, all of these factors, kind of change the energy and affect the organization as a whole? And more importantly, how do members of the organization work to focus and find positive outcomes in order to succeed and keep pushing forward every day?
You know, I think if you work in sports for your career, you come to find that like there are different cycles, right? Like there are going to be good times and bad times. There's going to be victory Mondays and Mondays where you sort of, you know, drag yourself in. And so I think you just become more accustomed to that.
Sure.
And I remember actually the first time, the second time I went to a Super Bowl, because I actually got to go with the Raiders when I was an intern, but when I went to my first Super Bowl with the 49ers, which was in my second season, an attorney, the general counsel of the Saints, said to me, stop and smell the roses. Like, you know, like you need to soak up this experience because this is not every year, you know, like this, you know, because I was very fortunate. My first three seasons, we went to three straight NFC championships and a Super Bowl.
Man, you must be, you must have the lucky touch.
Very spoiled. And so I think that you just learn to kind of roll with that when you're in sports.
Right.
And obviously it doesn't change the fact that, you know, you are competitive, you want to win, you hate losing.
Of course.
But you also have to find a way to kind of remain calm, because otherwise, you know, we would all be suffering from severe stress illnesses at a very early age.
Yes. Which is
of the nature of the business. So yeah, I think, you know, it's all about perspective, right? Like no matter what is happening, I can stop and say, you know what, I'm incredibly blessed that I am healthy, that my family is healthy right now, that I have a job and a roof over my head.
Right.
And a lot of people don't have that right now.
Right.
And so I think, again, it's all about perspective. There was a quote, you know, 50 years ago, a coach from USC, you know, encouraged his team. There's, you know, it's so funny because now with like broadcast being everywhere, it's sort of anachronistic. And also the numbers have obviously totally changed on the population.
Mm-hmm.
But he was like, there's a billion people in China who don't care whether you win or lose this football game.
Right.
And I think in some way, you know, you always do have to remind yourself, like, as much as we feel like, as, you know, in sports, all of us, no matter what our team is, or we feel like it's life or death when we're in it sometimes. And we have to remind ourselves that it's not.
Right.
and that we can take it seriously, but we can still step back and have perspective. And I remember even there was a producer who I worked for when I was an intern at Fox Sports West. And right before our first show, which it was a live nightly sports show. Mm-hmm. And he said, "I'm going to yell at you during this show. I'm just warning you. Like, I do that." He said, "But like, we're not saving babies. We're not curing cancer. Like, this is just sports entertainment. Right. Like, so don't worry about it."
Right.
And sure enough, you know, 5 minutes later, he's screaming at me during the show, like, "Run the teleprompter faster." It was great that he gave me that warning, right? Like, that this is going to be intense in the moment. Like, we're going to be focused on doing our jobs, but we're still going to be able to step away at the end and be positive, be friends, and recognize kind of the overall perspective of where we are in the world.
Absolutely.
And that's one of the reasons that, like, gratitude is one of the daily practices in the journal, mm-hmm. Season of Change, because it completely changes your perspective. Like, when you're asking, how do you kind of not get swayed by all the stuff that's going on right now with the season or in general, that's how you do it. You do it by recognizing every single day all the things that you have to be joyful and grateful about.
Right, absolutely. And I mean, no matter what happens with the football season or life in general, I feel like it's so important for everyone to keep one of the main ideas of your book in mind, and that is bringing joy onto whatever your path to victory is. No matter what boulders get in the way, you got to keep the joy in your life.
Yes, amen.
And I mean, I feel like you're one of the finest examples of that. So I'm so, so thankful that you were on this podcast with me today. And hopefully people can see that, and this lightens them up a little and inspires them and makes them believe that they can accomplish those goals that they have. And during this time right now, this crazy time, it's a great time to start working towards those goals.
It is. Thank you so much, Alexia. I appreciate it. And I do think it, for people who don't journal already, it's a great time to start journaling, right? I think
Absolutely.
We all have 5 to 10 minutes a day right now that we could devote to reflection and to planning for the future. And so I hope that everyone is able to enjoy doing that and to stay healthy. And thanks so much for listening. It has been a pleasure to talk with you today, Alexia.
You too, Hannah. Thank you so much for making the time with me. It was so amazing to sit down with Hannah and hear her give her 2 cents about working in the sports industry, and most importantly, how she keeps a positive mindset day to day and how she looks to find joy in her life every single day. And that is something I feel like we all can do a little bit better job in this crazy world we're living in. I hope you all enjoyed this first segment of Outside the Sandbox, where I took you outside the courts of beach volleyball and into the field of football. And hope you can see that all sports are so uniquely powerful in their own rights, and we can really learn something valuable from each and every single one. So thank you for listening, and as Hannah says, I hope you remember to bring joy on your path to victory every day. See you all soon!